It's spoiler in time, my friends. A chance for us to watch an old episode of TV and talk about what we saw. It is a new era for spoiler in time. I'm Tom Merritt. He's Brian Brushwood.
Heck yeah, dude. How do we explain this? Mommy and Daddy still love each other very much.
Yeah. Spoiler in time just got easier to explain, which is we're watching an old show. It might not even be that old at some point. Right now, it's Miami Vice. But if you want the what are Tom and Brian watching, that's going to be an after talk. Or it's going to be in Court Killers, non-spoilery. But we're kind of not going to try to keep on this rat race wheel of pursuing stuff and figuring out how to fit it together. Spoiler in time itself is just going to be easy. We're just going to watch old things that are interesting and the most fun to talk about. Watching old episodes of Miami Vice, apparently from what you've said and what we feel, has been one of the most fun things we do. Do you agree, Brian?
No, we're going to be more project focused at this point.
Yeah.
And that way you don't have to be in the middle of the cultural gestalt of whatever's happening right now. It's like we're going to pick something and we're going to analyze it through the lens of the three of us.
Yeah. And we won't have the situation where like, oh my God, six things came back all at once. We have to choose. We can all watch whatever we want and talk about it. That's going to be an after talk or Court Killers. And here we get to focus. So this week's episode is season 4, episode 22 of Miami Vice's Mirror Image Part 1, starring Antonio Fargas, who many of you may recognize as the man who played the character Huggy Bear on the Starsky and Hutch TV show. And another person you might recognize, Brian, have you heard of the actress Julia Roberts?
Familiar. Yeah, this is one of those, because of course we want to lead off with the wrong foot. Didn't finish this one. I'm going to need you to fill in some gaps.
It's the only season ending cliffhanger of the series, Brian.
Tom, what I did see of the first 40 minutes, first two thirds, made no sense. I guess Sonny gets knocked on the head, gets a little bit loopy.
Well, he's still affected because his wife was shot last week and died. And right. So he's a little out of sorts at the beginning. You know, he's got Tubbs saying like, oh, don't forget
you
to
sure
take a jacket.
You're okay?
Don't coddle swaddle me. Yeah.
I know Sheena Easton's dead. But this mission's for your eyes only, so I'm going in.
And I guess if you didn't see the ending, so we've got this thing where Crockett thinks he's his persona. What's his
code? It's the classic Miami Vice usually doesn't do these things, but it's the classic guy's got amnesia TV show plot thing.
Yeah.
Right? Who knows why, Brian? But he's got amnesia. He doesn't remember who he is.
Yes.
And so he thinks he is his drug dealer persona.
He actually believes he's Sonny.
He's Sonny Burnett.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so he does this total, you know, he does the total flip to he's in the clutches of all the bad guys. And they're like, oh, hey, get back to yourself, Burnett. And so they think, oh, you're a drug dealer. Yeah, you're a drug dealer. So with his amnesia, he's like, oh, I'm just a drug dealer. Anyway, the end of the episode, he shoots Tubbs.
What?
Yeah.
They're walking. This is a shot. They're walking down a dark alley, and Crockett just walks up to him and murks them.
The brilliance of this for Miami Vice, because otherwise it's just the typical like, oh, main character has amnesia. The beauty of it is that they created a much more intricate plot where Sonny doesn't remember who he is, so he believes he's a drug dealer because that's been his cover and that's what everybody tells him he is. Because he just cold shot a guy in the last episode, we know Sonny's capable of murder, right? We're fresh off of learning that Sonny Crockett is capable of murder. So Sonny Burnett is like, totally capable of murder. You need me to murder somebody? I'll do it. They find this out that Sonny has murdered somebody and they're like, we got to get him out of there. We don't know what's going on. So they send Tubbs thinking that Tubbs will be able to connect, but Sonny doesn't recognize him. And it's put up as a test because they've been tipped off that Sonny is a cop, but Sonny doesn't know he's a cop. So they test him by saying, you need to shoot Tubbs. He's like, great, I'll shoot Tubbs. He goes and shoots Tubbs. Tubbs is wearing a bulletproof vest. So Tubbs survives.
Okay.
And because he survives, they think he didn't go through with it. So they're like, see, he is a cop. We were tipped off right. But Sonny doesn't think he's a cop. Sonny thinks he shot Tubbs.
That's the worst of all worlds. He actually
passed.
So
the very end of the episode is the dirty cop who's been tipping off the mafia organization is told to take Sonny out and get rid of him. So the dirty cop takes Sonny in a boat and is like, come on, let's go. And Sonny gets whiffed that something's up and is like, what are you doing, man? And he's like, come on, we're both dirty cops. But you crossed the line, so I'm going to kill you. And Sonny's like, no, you're not, and shoots him dead.
End of episode.
End of episode.
Okay, but the second shooting apparently is a real shooting.
And they're both actual
murder. Yes, they're all real shootings. It's just that Tubbs was wearing a bulletproof vest, so he survived.
Sonny didn't know.
Shooting him dead.
We didn't know until we see Tubbs in the hospital, frankly, which is the real rug pull here.
But you could squint and say, like, Sonny knew at a subconscious level that there was a whatever.
No, he very clearly shoots him, walks off, is like, I did it. It's all good. And there's no indication, there's no doubt that he shot him.
So in other words, we strip away most of the ego and superego of Sonny Crockett, and we discover just a straight-up murderer.
Stone cold killer.
That's what he is at his core.
That's his persona. That's his persona, really. This is him saying, I have built such a grandiose false image, right? The image that I use as an undercover police officer. And he's had to live that double life. I don't know. It is part of him, but it's also a part that he keeps that is fake. It's not, you know, he's not
so
real.
So at the end of this episode, the mafia believes they've sent someone to dispose of him. And when it turns out that he's not been disposed of, they're going to go after him thinking, oh, he got away. The cops are going to go after him, but he doesn't know they're on his side. So he's going to try to stay away from the cops because he doesn't recognize any of them. And Julia Roberts was in the episode.
Who was she?
She was the crazy
she was
lady,
the girl
right?
That he like. It's weird. Like they just show her flirting with him. She's in the hospital, and then they show her flirting with him, and the next thing you know, they're in bed together, and you're like, oh, I guess they had a romance. And then when they just give the order to the dirty cop to shoot him, she goes, oh, that's too bad. You know, like kind of like, oh, well, easy come, easy go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I feel close to understanding what happened. I was not there for the entire episode. I'm going to need you two to tell me, how do we collectively feel about this as an episode in the canon of Miami Vice?
Tom, you want to take this?
It is both
this is cute enough.
One of the greatest and worst plots. I have high respect for the fact that they took the amnesia trope and turned it into something interesting of like, oh, everybody knows he's a cop except him now. That's interesting. But at the same time, it's so stuttering in the way it's told, where we just kind of jump from thing to thing, that the only other thing I can give is that they didn't pull any punches. They didn't give us any indication that Sonny is hesitating when he kills, of like, oh, there might be a part of him in there, or oh, maybe he really does remember. Like they very clearly like, no, Sonny definitely doesn't remember he's a cop because he doesn't hesitate any of the times that he kills people or tries to.
Is there any chance that they walk this back and that they, you know, have a scene where Edward James Olmos is like, listen, Sonny, you just have to be totally brutal. We're going to talk about your amnesia, what have you.
No, because he killed the cop. What was the cop's name? At the Hagovich.
Yeah.
He like stone cold shoots Hagovich, which
any
nothing
for real
in
dies.
Miami Vice has prepared us for Castillo saying it's okay to kill Hegovich.
Yeah, like, that's okay. Right. No, you're right. You're right. Your Honor, I withdraw my proposal.
Also, oh my gosh. So you didn't get to the dream sequence.
Oh gosh. Yeah,
that's one of the worst moments of Miami Vice I've ever seen. Can never tell when it's a dream sequence or not.
Okay, so this was the episode that I accidentally watched ahead of time two episodes ago when it was a clip show and dream sequences.
You called this out? Yeah.
Yeah, and so I hadn't watched this.
I forgot about that, yeah.
And you watch it, and turns out it does have a dream sequence in it as well. It's Sonny in like a...
Speaking of Castillo.
In a white suit, and then the other Vice members are on this very white Miami beach, white sand Miami beach. And he's kind of walking around, and Tubbs is in a coffin.
He sure is.
This is after he shot Tubbs, right? So this is the only indication that there's any awareness in his mind somewhere of who Tubbs was.
Yeah. It's a striking scene only because I think it looks really amazing. It is one of the most, I think it's one of the scenes where they really hit the aesthetic of this show, on a like conceptual level. Like, yeah, man, it's stark and it's almost monochromatic. It's not full of color, but it's all subtext and it's all symbolism.
This would have been roughly around the same time that St. Elsewhere crawled up its own butt at the same time. Like I remember there was a character, it might've been Howie Mandel, who was like between life and death, in a coma or something. And so he was encountering characters, and it's like purgatory boiled down to you have a boat, but nobody to help you water ski or something. I don't know. There may have been a moment in the 80s that everybody was in on this.
The sort of who am I really aspects have been teased a little bit in this episode. The dream sequence that Bryce was just mentioning is probably the biggest example, but there's some moments where he's kind of looking at the mirror, trying to be like, who am I really? Mm-hmm. And he is sort of struggling to remember who he is. So we're very clearly headed to Sonny's memories come back, and he has to deal with the guilt of what he has done. But this is the first of three parts to this story.
Wait, this isn't part two?
No.
I thought this was a part two.
No, this is part one. Even though it comes directly off of the death of his wife.
Yeah.
Oh. That is not actually part of this series. This is part one. And then we get Hostile Takeover, part two, and Redemption in Blood, part three. It's one of the reasons that I made us watch the Sheena Easton one again, is because I found out that there's an important thing, obviously we know now, that happens at the end of that episode that informs part one, even though it's not part of the three-part series.
Oh.
That says everything right there.
We have more, Brian, now we have more time for Miami Vice. Now we have more time for Miami Vice.
We're also heading into the final season.
That will be
interesting. We're not going to watch every episode.
I mean, do we feel like the show had already jumped the shark by this point? Because
I definitely do. I definitely feel like it's already jumped the shark
somewhere.
But
right,
and now it introduces the complicated question of like, do we even want to try to watch every single episode of the last failing episode or season of this show?
No. We do have to watch parts two and three, though. I will advocate for that. Like, we have started this journey, and we have to tough it out. Then we've only got like, I've got six episodes after this on the slot, because you get Rosalind Chow in one. You get Hiroyuki Tagawa returning. You get one with Rita Moreno and Paul Provenza. Michael Chiklis shows up in one. No, we're going to like have things to say about the Michael Chiklis. Then there's Ian McShane coming back, which we haven't seen him in a minute. And the finale, which was never aired, which has CCH Pounder.
What?
Yeah.
What?
So that's okay. Where we're headed. That's where we're going.
Okay.
With
all right.
But we've got to get Sonny his memories back first.
You brought me back. All right, I'm in. But this was a vexing story to watch. And yes, I should have completed it, but I'm not entirely sure how much more I would have gotten.
You would have gotten that shock ending. Well, you would have gotten him shooting Tubbs. You definitely were surprised when we told you that. So yes, there would have been something there. Yeah. So anything else on Miami Vice Mirror Image Part 1?
No, I do suspect right now is, because we're coming up on the end of our sojourn with Miami Vice, we were very excited to start this journey.
Yeah, it was fun.
How do we feel now?
I am still enjoying the distance perspective. I have found, Brian, that when I started watching Miami Vice, Eileen would come into the room and go, "Oh, Miami Vice," and walk out. Now in this fourth season, more often than not, she comes in and goes, "Oh, Miami Vice," and sits down and starts making fun of it.
That's progress, Tom. That's a win, baby. Put in the W's.
There's legitimately something there. We're just trying to understand what it was.
Yeah. Yeah. Because there's some undeniably ridiculous elements of it. But I think what makes it worth watching is that it's not just ridiculous. There's also those moments of, like you mentioned, Bryce, even though it's one of the worst moments in storytelling of Miami Vice, in my opinion, its cinematography of the dream sequence is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And you get those elements of storytelling from time to time where you're like, oh, this is sophisticated. This is interesting. And we've even had a couple of things where like they felt modern in their storytelling sensibilities. And that's always fun to discover too.
Mainly just looking forward for an excuse to have a meetup with somebody at a quarry. Just so that those who know what's about to happen.
Also, we're saying goodbye to old Jan Hammer on this one. They're going to keep his theme song, but he doesn't do any more of the music.
He doesn't do season 5 music.
No.
Well, that was the nail in the coffin right there.
Yeah. Talk about a shark jump.
Yep.
Or like a hammerhead shark.
Hammered
jump.
The yawn.
I would be curious, Bryce, Miami Vice was closer to Tom and I than it was to you. To you, this was like an alien artifact. What has your journey been like?
This has been fun. This has been really interesting seeing what feels like TV history avoid putting a pejorative on it. Like it's really fascinating to go back and see to see the show firsthand and to understand truly by watching and not just by reading on Wikipedia or something. Like, no, you actually see the pessimism of the police force here. You see the brutality. You see a lot of what they're trying, you know, like Tom said earlier, like there is sophistication. There is some intricacy to this. This is not just farted out. Like there is, you know, time and
not
thought
all effort. Quarry scenes.
Right. And so I've really enjoyed this. And I think that we've definitely hit probably most, if not all, of the big pivotal, like cultural Miami Vice moments as well. So it's been fun. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. That was the one thing when we did the clip show that stuck out to me is just how much of it I had seen. It was a lot more than I had expected. So it felt like we had seen what the producers thought were significant moments too. Mm-hmm. We are on Miami Vice through mid-November, but it's not too early to send us suggestions for what the next watch should be. So get those to us, cordkillers@gmail.com. Once again, next week, the season 5 premiere, episode 1 of season 5, Hostile Takeover, part 2. Mirror Image, part 1, Hostile Takeover, part 2. They named the parts differently, but it's part 2 of this story. So I assume you still get Antonio Fargas and Julia Roberts.
Questions,
we will discuss
Tom.
That What's that, Brian?
Well, Miami Vice is different from most of the other things we've watched because we gave ourselves permission to kind of hop, skip, and jump our way through it.
Yeah, yeah.
Based on, you know, celebrity guests or whatever. Whatever comes next, should we maybe set up another set of rules that allows us to?
Yeah, we'll take submissions for that. Like, watch these kinds of episodes of this series. If it's a short series, we could probably do the whole thing. You know, but if it's Gunsmoke, we're definitely not.
So, yeah.
Let us know. Be creative. Come up with ideas. We will also be coming up with ideas. Check that out in After Talk. We'll be talking about other shows in a spoilery nature in After Talk as well. And you get that by becoming a patron at patreon.com/cordkillers. We'll spoil you next time.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.